Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Lending Forward podcast. I'm your host this week, Eliza Delgado, and I am joined by the infamous Bill Hitchcock and our special guest, Angie Cole from A. Cole Realty in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey guys.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, infamous is a little bit scary of an intro, but I'll take it.
I meant it as a compliment.
And of course, we're super excited to have Angie on. Angie, you know, as you know, we've been big fans. We've been stalking you for a while. So thanks for coming on Lending Forward, and we're excited to have you here.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So I think one of the big things that we've been, you know, that we've been talking about, and I know that when we kind of did the prep call for this, to all of our viewers, this isn't kind of a one take. We definitely go through a few things, but just in talking to you, you know, one of the things I thought was really cool was just your story, kind of like where you started and where you are now. Like I said, we've been kind of fan stalking you, so seeing all the great things that you're doing, but kind of take us through that real quick. We kind of start in there and tell us how we got to the version of Angie Cole, you know, today.
Yeah, sure. So I guess it starts a good 17 years ago. So I decided to get my real estate license when I was gonna 7-8 months pregnant. So sitting in real estate school, honestly, just wasn't quite sure what to do with my life. And growing up, my stepmom, she was in the real estate industry from an administrative standpoint. So I always enjoyed going to open houses with her and thought, hey, real estate could be potentially a good career. So I obtained my real estate license just a month or two after my first child was born, was a single mom. And at that point, they, unfortunately, the real estate schooling doesn't let you know that, hey, you need some money saved up to get started in real estate. So I went in definitely blindsided and didn't have a penny to my name. But luckily, a builder brought me on board as their on-site agent. So with being a new construction in that platform, luckily they were salary plus bonus. So at that time in my life, that was just a great opportunity for me. So I was in the new home sales industry for about 2.5 to 3 years. And then from there, flipped over to residential. And so I joined one team, amazing team. Actually, the owner of that team is one of my best friends, but it wasn't a good fit. For whatever reason, just things were not shaken out. And I was on that team for several months, and honestly, I was like, well, maybe real estate is not for me.
That moment of doubt, right?
Oh, it was a big moment of doubt, yeah. What do I do in my life? Full transparency, I do not have a college degree. I went 2.5 years and needed to drop out in order to support myself, so just wasn't even sure what to fall back on. And so left that team. Took a minute and trying to figure out what to do with my life. And another team leader pitched me about being their first buyer specialist. So I was very honest and upfront with that team leader and said, hey, here's my concerns. Not sure if real estate's for me. But she said, no, come on board. Like, we got this. So joined that team and things just really took off. And I think it was just, both teams are amazing. I think it was just the way they ran their business. They said, Angie, go do your thing. And that's what I did.
All of this is kind of like when the mortgage downturn was happening, right? So just, you weren't coming in at like at the height of the market.
I was clueless too. I mean, I was like, oh, real estate sounds fun, but I really didn't even understand the industry or the history behind it. And yeah, you're right. So I started in new construction in the summer of 2007, but it was right when, okay, busyness said, whoop. And I had no idea. But I think that's a positive thing because you just don't know what you don't know. And I was like, oh, this is real estate. When the rest of the industry who was already actively in the field, they were freaking out, right? Because they were writing those contracts, and then all of a sudden it fell off. And where me, I got into it when all of a sudden it was completely silent. You know, we had one or two people walking through the new home construction community in a week. It was dead. So yeah, you're right.
But it also probably helped you refine your own process, right? Because like things were a little bit slower, a little bit more challenging. So you kind of learned much quicker or much more deeper in terms of your knowledge base.
Yeah, yeah. But and I think it also just it required you to really just use your skill base and just, you know, learn, hey, how do I build rapport? Like learn the processes and the systems and, you know, really become a true salesperson. In new home sales is a lot more, I would say, salesy, I think, than the residential side. So you had to be good at what you were doing, right, to convert anyone at that point.
Yeah.
And that's a great point to touch on. So do you feel like your mentors were telling you like, hey, you've got to know your craft, or is that just how you are? Because if you think about it, like right now, a lot of people getting into the real estate and the mortgage industry, you know, came off of seeing two great years and all the TV shows. I think all the TV shows don't really help us. For me, you know, all the restoration shows, they make it so I don't have weekends anymore. Right. But as you see all that and it makes it look so easy, you know, did your mentors kind of tell you to go that path, or that's just what you decided to do to really know your craft?
Sure. No, there was a lot of training, a lot of, I would say with new construction is definitely more of a corporate style, right? So at that time they were very heavy in the Myers-Barnes training, you know, scripting, and, you know, yes, I might have the personality, but you had to learn like, okay, this is how you build rapport. Here's how you continue the questions. Here's the objections. How do you overcome them? So it was really important to, you know, be an expert, you know, in that field and in that craft 100%.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
One of the things that we talked about, sorry, I'm jumping in, is, you know, kind of how you started building your sphere, because we talked about, you know, sales skills, and a lot of people lump networking into that. So talk to me a little bit about like, what was it that worked for you and what still works for you? Because I love this facet of our conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as like building my sphere, I mean, first of all, I'm just one of those people that I love everyone. And so, you know, if I'm at a get together or a party, I mean, I just naturally meet other people. And so just from, you know, growing up, the area I grew up in, Harnett County, which is right below where I currently live in Wake County. So I grew up naturally in this area. So just from back in my school days, I mean, like our team has assisted to help many people I went to high school with and college with. And so just naturally, like, you know, knowing people and then keeping in touch with them. But my biggest way I would say I've built my sphere has been by social media. I always say, like, I think I was one of the first like real estate professionals to tap into social media. Now everyone's doing it, right? And I think it's important to do it. But I did it forever ago, and 100% of my business came from social media. And it was just because I was active on there. I was talking about my day, and I always tell newer agents, fake it till you make it. You know, you might have nothing going on today, but say it is a super busy day in the office today.
Everything's happening.
Yeah, right. Because people want to work with people that are busy because it looks like you're really doing a great job. So yeah, it was by social media that I 100% like built my database. I mean, there was people I already knew from, you know, who I grew up with and just, you know, current friends, but by tagging them, sharing their story, allowing their friends and family to see, hey, Angie's the go-to real estate agent in the industry, or, you know, if you're locally, like I became their person. So it was by social media.
I love that. I love that. And so powerful, because I think it's like the underrated free tool that people, you know, they take for granted, but it's also like, it's created very successful business for you. And it's still the number one thing that you use, which I think it speaks for itself, right?
Yeah. Love that. Yeah, it's definitely.
And we have that. So I'm probably not on social as much as I should be. I'm definitely the older of all of the three of us here. So when you're working with, you know, your team and yourself, and you're doing, you know, you're putting your whole social strategy together, are you putting a lot of time and thought into that and thinking of the actual strategy, or is it just kind of happening organically? Because like you said, it's kind of like your number one tire to your, you know, to your fan base. Right now. So how do you look at that?
Yeah. I mean, now we do things differently, but in the beginning there was no rhyme or reason behind, I guess, what I was doing. It wasn't pre-planned.
I did a
monthly calendar. But you know, I was doing the same things every time. So For example, let's say I had a new listing to go on the market. I would make sure I would post it as a coming soon, an active listing, when it went under contract, when it closed. And so right there, I just posted it four times. And that's one thing that we train on is, hey, I just turned one listing into four listings. So it looks like I'm busier than what I really am, right? Every single time I would post a front porch picture or the clients at the closing table. Because again, I can then tag them. And then what I would do there is, hey, I would tag them. Everyone's like, oh, congrats, congrats, congrats. All their friends and family. I would wait a couple of days and then I would comment again. And I would thank you so much for allowing me to be your agent, because I then just hit all of their people again. Yep. So I was very purposeful about my posting. Also, I think it's really important to post your personal and your business. No one wants to look at a news feed and just see all business related. Right. If they want to see that, they'll join your business page. Pretty much 100% of the business that has developed in the like real estate world has come from my personal page versus our business page, which is kind of crazy. Honestly, if I could do away with our business page, I would. It's not the generator. It's the personal page, because people want to know like the person they're working with. So I post my kids. I use my kids like crazy. Like, hey, cute kid. Like, also, you should buy a home with me, right? So they want to know the real you. And then also they want to see someone who's busy as well. But yes, now it is planned out, but I can't take credit for that. So we do have a social media company who plans like a monthly calendar for us, and they do 3 to 4 postings a week, content related, you know, just to really just try to reach the viewer's eyes. So, yeah.
So you touched on something there when you were just talking about how you do things now. And yeah, if you look at that path, you were telling us kind of like how you got to here. So tell us a little bit about that part where, you know, things got bigger than just Angie, and now you start having a team and start thinking like, okay, I've got to build systems and processes and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I was on a team, and I was on that team for 2 to 3 years, and it got to a point I was looking at my numbers, and I mean, about 95% of my business was personal business. And so I never had the goal to start my own team. That wasn't the direction I was very happy with where I was at, but it just only made sense. So I started Acor Realty back in October of 2013. And of course, at that point was solo. But very quickly, I was busy. I was only a couple of months in when it was like, it's time for me to hire an admin. And so actually my mom was my very first hire. So my mom was with us for 5 years as an administrative like team member. Now she's actually an agent with us. But yeah, you know, I think you naturally develop, you have your own systems in place, but as you grow, you start to see where, hey, the system that worked for me as an individual, there's these gaps in it. And so from the feedback from other team members, like, hey, how can we improve this? Where do we need to tweak it? The biggest thing for me is, what can we automate? Automation is the key to doing like mass production. So as simple as, like when we onboard a new agent now, we log them into a system called Trainual, and all of our modules there, everything's recorded. So they go through a 21-day, very intensive like onboarding, but I never even have to put my fingers on it. It's already been automated and recorded. So anytime you can create, hey, here's a template we are going to send out every single time. You know, this is the process, this is the system, but automation is the key, just to make sure all clients are being handled the same as well. And so, because that's a direct reflection of our company, but also just to give every individual time back, like automation is great.
That's awesome. Yeah. The time back is key, trying to balance everything. So yeah, definitely love that.
So Angie, one of the things we also talked about when we talked about kind of your growth and your trajectory, when you went from solo agent to kind of developing a team and now kind of owning your company and spearheading that, is like the power of having mentors and surrounding yourself with people that are a handful of steps ahead of you to help, you know, kind of pull you along, but also to soundboard things with. So, you know, talk to me about that strategy for you, and, you know, who you not, maybe not names, but who you utilize now to kind of help you kind of stay ahead of the curve and that kind of thing. Obviously you've made a recent transition, you know, in terms of your company too. So I'd love to hear your thought process on how you approach that. And even from the perspective of how you vet a mentor, because I think that's an important thing too. Not every mentor is the one you want to deal with, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I feel like at different stages of your business, different people will show up in different ways. And so who might be my direct mentor or coach at, you know, one stage in my business, You know, sometimes I feel like even though amazing, you might kind of grow out of that and you might need someone else who has been in the same place that you have been, not necessarily always doing the same amount of business. You know, think about like Michael Jordan, like, I mean, his coach wasn't this, you know, all-star basketball player, right? So I think, but where you're at in your business, you need someone to help you kind of spearhead things and give you those ideas or know the connections of, hey, I don't have an answer there, but I'm going to connect you with this person who does. And so having those resources for you is very important. I've always been big on just collaboration though, like within the industry, like with, you know, other like colleagues locally, and then across the country. So I know locally, like we have what we call like our boss babes group, three other, like my best friends, three other team leaders. And, you know, we all have the same problems, right? Like if one is like, oh my gosh, this happened today. We're like, yep, it all happened to us too. Like, don't feel crazy. This is normal. Or how would you handle this situation? But then like, you know, across the country, I'm part of this private like Facebook group. And I was so honored that they invited me to the group, but it's a group of like 60 team leaders across the country. And some doing less production, some doing way more production. But, you know, I think it's important you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, just feel what that person is doing and implement it. And just because also it works for them doesn't necessarily means that it's going to work for you. But it's just, you know, having others that have those ideas or, hey, I've been where you're at, try this. That's the best thing to do, is making sure that you're aligning and you're collaborating with people that are where you're at and where you want to go. That's important to me. Where do I want to go? So who can I be in like those rooms with those people? But yeah, I have different coaches throughout my real estate career, and hey, we could have a really strong year. Sometimes I just need a break from it too. And then I go back to that same person or to a new person. So I collaborated with a lot of people.
Yeah. It's also probably good to have a different perspective from someone that's maybe outside of your direct, you know, geographical space too, because it's, you know, completely objective. It's just industry based and experience based. It's probably super helpful.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, you know, so I know that when we were talking, one of the things that you had mentioned before is, you know, not being afraid to make a bold move. Mm-hmm. And I think that so far the theme to me is definitely coming out in just our conversation today. You know, the time that you came in the market doing something new, you know, moving around to, hey, this is not my strength, but, you know, this is. And I think you also touched on what I want to come back to also is you had to balance that while having a family as well. You know, we know that there's a lot of women in the industry, and sometimes they're moms as well. It's like, how do you balance all of it? And then you've moved with different brands and groups. And I like the way, just when we were talking before, about how you were saying how you kind of picked up something from each of them. So kind of walk us through the journey that you've taken through some of the top brands in the country and having your own group, and now where you're at, you know, with kind of the LPT portion here.
Yeah, most definitely. So like I mentioned, started A Cole Realty in October of 2013. And at that time I was under the umbrella of Keller Williams. That's all that I knew. So stayed with them. Great, great company. But fast forward, and it was in July of 2016 that we decided to branch off and go independent. After I just realized we were already operating really independently on as our own. And I was like, as an overall company, we can all save money, you know, being the company and our agents if we go independently. So in 2016, we branched off, we did go independent, and it was a great move. Business continued to just, you know, improve and excel, and everything was wonderful. During that time, like I mentioned, I was a single mom when I started in real estate. Fast forward, and I now have four kids. I have a lot of kiddos. But fast forward, and in June of 2020, I got pregnant with twins, who are now three. I'm busy. And at that time, you know, I'd always thought about stepping out of production. My last year in the business, my last listing appointment I went on was June of 2020, and I closed 78 homes personally that year while still running a team. And I was busy, you know, and that was working evenings, weekends, and, you know, with real estate or the lending business, I mean, we all know it's not an 8-to-5, right? But I needed more structure in my life. There was no way that I could, you know, have two newborn babies now. And at that time, I then had an under 3-year-old too. And still do what I was doing in the evenings and weekends. So it was actually the perfect opportunity to step out of production, and the team was set up and ran with it. And actually our business continued to excel from a net standpoint. I continued to make more money, which was amazing by me stepping out of the business, but that meant me being in the office daily. So, you know, I'm here in the office and I love it because I get to pour into the team, pour into the systems and the company. So fast forward and, you know, we've been independent ever since. And looking at the crazy real estate industry we're in with all these fun lawsuits that are out and about with NAR and also just wanting more opportunity to be able to pour into the team. Like, we have a lot of wonderful training, but I do feel like we get to a point where we get maxed out as far as our seasoned agents. Do we have enough training for them where we're able to pour into them more and more and more? And so by aligning with a much larger company, I felt like we were creating those opportunities that, hey, if they wanted to tap into even additional training and ideas, we're now creating that availability for them. And then I'm big on passive income. You know, I have a couple of other companies, like an insurance company, a management company, partners in a title company. And I think we all need to be thinking about, you know, long-term, like I love to work, but I don't want to work forever. And so with aligning with like more of a cloud-based company, like an LPT, there's that passive stream of income opportunity when you're attracting other like-minded individuals to the company. There's rev share, all that fun stuff, stock awards for our agents. And so, yeah, we decided official January 5th of this year, we aligned with LPT Realty. And
congratulations.
It's been amazing. So yeah, it's pretty cool as far as how many others are taking that leap and transitioning over as well. I think I just looked at like 256 people already in our like kind of downline, and we've been with the company for 2 months now.
So in that conversation, I know we also talked about kind of the window where you went with another brand for a short period of time. And then very quickly, you're like, you know what, this might not be the right, you know, we need to make a different decision. You know, on that theme of, you know, kind of bold moves, just your team trusting you to stay in line with, hey, you know what, if Angie feels like it's the best for us, we're going to stick with it. And it seems like it's paid off. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you broke it just a little bit, but I think I got the gist of it. Yeah, we actually aligned with another cloud-based brokerage company, a very massive one, which is really well-known in our area and throughout just the country as a whole. And at that point, the team actually, they dug their feet and their heels. And, you know, they love being independent. They love being just, hey, we're the number one independent team in the triangle. They love being able to say that. And they had concerns. And so, but they trusted, I guess, my guidance and mentorship as far as, hey guys, this is a great move. But yeah, I did very quickly find out and learn more about LPT and the overall model. When I was comparing the two, it was a better model. And so I was thinking, I was like, the team's going to think I'm crazy, right? Like, we've only been with this company for less than a month. And I'm about to say, actually, we're going back to independent for a hot minute. And then we're switching back to now to LPT Realty. And it was amazing because they all were actually overly excited about the transition and again, trusted the path we were taking. And it's been amazing since. So definitely bold moves. But I, you know, that move was a quick one. The original move to affiliate with the other cloud brokerage company, that was years in the making. So I am one of those people, like if I'm like, oh, I want a new car today, I will go buy a new car. Like that's me. I'm a very quick, I'll look at one home, I buy it. Like, that's me. Like, when I know I want something, I move forward. But I also, in the back, I've probably been thinking about it for quite some time. So it was a great move for me.
But that's also probably what makes you a really great leader, though, is taking quick action. You know, be quick to take action and then implement things as quickly as possible. You break things really quickly, but you move past them really quickly, too. I think that's a great attribute of most successful leaders. So that's kudos to you for just listening to that little voice that says, let's just do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, I mean, I always say when an agent comes on, I mean, I would love for them to be with us forever. And we have, I mean, our first agent who joined the team is actually still with us, Lowry. We have a lot of team members been with us for several years, but, you know, let's be real. Like, the lifespan of an agent on a team is maybe 2 to 3 years. So my feelings don't get hurt for one second if someone leaves and I'm like, hey, like, I'm happy that I helped to build you up, or, hey, you know what, maybe we weren't the right fit for you. But yeah, like when an admin leaves, you know, first of all, it's never like any poor feelings against them. But yeah, you have to very quickly be like, okay, time to find the next hire, time to find the next person to replace them. And you can't let it get you down because it's just running a business. It, you know, it, you know, none of us would be, I guess, where we're at in our lives if it wasn't difficult, if it wasn't tough, right? Yeah.
But that's just especially these industries, if you're not resilient, you're kind of dead in the water.
Gotta keep moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Andy, you know, with that, when you're talking about the, you know, kind of taking, and we talk about it here a lot too, is taking a individual sport and almost looking at it, almost kind of like a team sport. You said you have mentors, you collaborate with other people. So I take it again, where if you're saying, hey, you've got to be, you know, almost not afraid to do these things. Is that how you look at competition? That competition isn't really something to be afraid of. It's actually something to kind of like drive you and push you further.
Yeah. I honestly, one thing I disliked when we were still under the umbrella of Keller Williams is we were number one in the office. I didn't like that. I didn't like that there was a big gap between us and then the next team behind us. I actually like to be in those rooms where there's people doing better in what we're doing. Like, I think friendly competition is a positive thing. Same thing internally here in our team. Like, we have accountability calls. You know, we shout out whenever someone puts a home under contract, and it's not to make others feel bad. It's hopefully a driving force, like, wow, look what they're doing. How can I be like them? How can I improve, like, you know, what I'm doing in my day to day? Like, let me learn from them, because clearly they're doing something right. And that's how I am. Like, I love it when I'm surrounded by others that are doing just amazing things, you know, in the industry and, you know, in the world as a whole. So like direct competition, first of all, there's enough business for everyone, right? I mean, no matter what market you're in, there's enough business. So I don't ever look at like, oh gosh, like I got to win against them. I mean, friendly competition is good, but it's a driving force.
Yeah.
So everybody probably agrees that there's enough business until last year.
Right. So there's not enough yet, not enough homes, the people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So how are you having that conversation with everybody that's in your network, right? We're being bombarded by everything in all of the media on there's no inventory, it's a horrible time to buy and all this. So how are you having those conversations with your team, with your sphere, you know, all of it?
Yeah, I mean, my number one thing always is just education, you know, so you should be educating, whether it be the agents or the clients, like in advance, and so they know what to expect. Like, hey guys, like I know your concerns, like I'm feeling the same way you're feeling, but like, hey, what can we do to like just sustain this, and we will come out on top, you know? So the big conversation we were having with like our team and our agents is, guys, it's time to buckle down. Like, if you were making $100 a week, you know, last year, it's time to make $200 a week, you know? Like, we need to double down, because it's going to take $200 to do the same business, hopefully, that you were doing last year. So it's just doing more and more of the actions. You know, I think it's important that we, as much as possible, we don't have any type of requirements as far as in office time, but I think it was great when, hey, come into the office, like don't seclude yourself, like be around others that are still doing great business. And then as far as the clients go, you know, it's, hey, what positives can we're dealing all with, like with the industries, right? But this is not going to be a forever thing. And will we ever see under threes again? Maybe not. But you know what? We're not going to be stuck in the sevens forever.
Right.
There's going to be opportunities to refinance. You know, when we're in the multiple offer situation, it's explaining and educating to the clients up front. Like, these are the type of offers that we're seeing based on your price point, location. Like, this is what you need to expect versus, oh, you love this home? Now let's talk about writing an offer. And then they're like sticker shock, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just always being one step ahead, whether it's, you know, from the agent standpoint or the client.
Nice. Good. Liza, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a whole list. I can kind of keep going. The one other thing that I did want to circle back to, though, is that you were, like I said before, when you started, you know, you were a mom. So right now, with all these things that you listed before, you know, the title company, the other streams of business, making these moves here, the whole time you've done that, you've still had, you know, this family in tow as well. So for, you know, people either in the industry or getting in the industry, you know, what do you say to them about how to like find that balance? And is there balance?
I think, no, there's not. I'll be real. I think eventually you can find balance. And for the most part, I've found that now. But I mean, I've also been in the industry for like 17 years. So yeah. You know, starting off, I worked a lot. I remember one time it was 12 straight days of just a full working day. I would take my oldest, who's now, you know, 17, she was in the car with me. I mean, and she would go with me to appointments. And so the idea, and that's where a lot of people fail in this industry is, oh, I get my real estate license because I'm going to make millions and I get to control my schedule and barely work. Doesn't happen that way. So, you know, I feel like you need to pay your dues in order to get that balance and get that time back. So now, you know, I don't work typically evenings and weekends. I don't go on appointments anymore, but I still have to be available to our team. You know, within the team, we have some amazing, like our director of ops, our lead mentor, like we have amazing leverage on the back end that field a lot of that. But there's still times I need to answer a call and I need to respond to something and stay engaged. So you can't ever fully check out. And I'm still checking my emails. I mean, the amount of emails that come in is just absurd. So I'm not going on appointments, but I'm still working somewhat. But yes, I have gotten a lot more time back and balance as the team and the company has grown, which has been great. But I paid my dues.
So the goal, if you know that the goal's in, you know, if you have the goal in mind, don't be afraid of the work.
I mean,
so I was going to ask kind of on that topic, though, you know, there are still people that are shockingly entering the business, you know, whether it's lending or real estate, you know, thinking like this is a great opportunity to make some money because the market's about to turn. So, you know, for the people that kind of are starting and dipping their toe in the pond or diving in full force, like if you could give two or three pointers for things to wrap their arms around immediately, what would those things be from your perspective?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's funny. Every single time I meet with a new agent, I tell them, I'm like, now that you got your real estate license, don't think for one second you can sit back and everyone's going to flock to you wanting to buy or sell a home. Like, this is not an easy industry. Same with the lending industry. Like, we are in sales. Like, you have to go out and find that business. So I would say, you know, number one thing, I would say make an Excel spreadsheet of anyone and everyone you know. And that's one thing that we do with our onboarding and our training. Okay, who do you know? Right now, you have to call every single one of those people. And I know it's awkward, but you need to let them know that you're now in the real estate industry. But the great thing is, hey, I have the back end of this team that has this many years of business. So if I don't know the answer, like someone does, like you have a team working for you. So call your sphere and then continue to stay in touch with them. You really should be touching your database and your sphere on a quarterly basis. You know, we have helped our team with doing this because we also love like crazy, like on our database and our past clients. But you need to stay in front of these people. So I would say create your sphere. I would say go ahead and get in those groups, get on social media. There's so many different like groups that you can become a part of to really just start masterminding and feel comfortable with asking those questions. How do I do this stuff? And I would say the third thing really as a new agent or like a lending partner is you need to first group up with a team, like actually be on a team. I don't know everything about the lending side, but like on the real estate side, you can be a solo agent within a firm. And when you're a solo agent within a firm, you're truly like solo. It's tough. Like, I don't think, I mean, most industries are tough getting started, right? So don't be scared to get help in the beginning as far as like, and that's what I say our team offers, like the amount of leads we have in our database. You know, we teach you how to script, how to lead generate, how to call on them, but you need people to call on. And when you're a solo agent, you really don't have those leads coming in. So it's okay to start off on a team, even if that's not like your long-term goal. So I would say that's probably the quickest way to get up and get going in this industry.
Awesome.
One quick question on the tail end of that. So when someone starts off on a team, and this is kind of like in line with what you were talking about earlier with you, when you make your own decisions on like, what's the threshold of when you think it's time to kind of jump out on your own or those kinds of things. Like, do you have anything that you would consider, any questions that you should ask yourself when it might be time? Because it could be people listening now that might be wondering, I might be ready to jump the nest, you know?
Sure. You know, I don't really think it's from a numbers like perspective as far as like, okay, once I have this many homes under contract or I've closed this many, you know, I think it's the individual and their mindset as well. You know, like we have our top agent last year, he closed, I think it was 43 homes, year before that, 74. You know, and he splits his commission with us, right? But he sees the value in, I never have to manage an admin. I have all this leverage. I can do that business because everything's set up for me. So not everyone, I guess, has that same goal in mind. But I mean, that same person, you know, last year he made 317,000, year before that, 400 grand. Like, you can still have a great income while still having the support. So, you know, and I know like that person, like he just loves being a part of the team. Like, people have become his best of friends. So I don't think there's a certain like threshold or, you get to a point in your business, now it's time to take the leap. I think that's you individually. I know I took that leap. You know, there was a couple of other reasons, of course, as far as why I took the leap. It wasn't strictly from, well, all the business I'm doing is my sphere, you know. You know, there's nothing wrong with staying internally with a team either. While other people eventually might decide, hey, I want to be like the rainmaker. I want to be the team leader. So I don't really have a direct answer there because I think it's individually and what your goals are, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that is the answer. It's very individual and it depends on what's important to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
it's
so
true.
So Angie, going off a little off script here, one of the things I think that, that we know is you and your group are probably bombarded, you know, by lenders, ever, you know, all lenders, because like we said before, you know, business has been tight the last year and a half. So everybody's out trying to find, you know, the next opportunity or the next great group to work with. So what's advice that you would give, you know, from the lending side that lenders can provide, you know, that thing of value or whatever they're doing that really helps, you know, helps their, the partner that they're trying to get. So when someone's knocking on your door, what's the best way to approach that?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, because like we have our what we call preferred people in place, and we feel like, you know, they're in place because they do an amazing job. We've been working for a long time, but, you know, they also, you know, help us from a marketing standpoint. So we feel a little married to those individuals, right? I would just say consistency is the same thing on the, like, on the, as an agent, you know, when we're following up with leads, you can't follow up a lead two or three times and expect to convert them. You know, I think now the average like touches, like when we're trying to convert a lead is like 21 touches, whether it be by a phone call, like a phone call, a text, an email. So you have to be consistent because it's going to take just the right perfect time in that you slid into their DMs or you just, you know, try to call them that they're actually like, you know what? Like, I actually, we need another lending partner. So to me, I don't think there's anything special you can say or do. I think it's just staying consistent. But like, hey, I know you have your partners. I know you're set. But if the opportunity ever comes available, please let me just meet with you for a minute. Please let me meet with you. So I think it's just a consistency. Yeah.
Just being there and being ready.
Yep, exactly.
That's what top of mind activities matter, right?
Yeah.
True.
All right. Well, we've had a phenomenal conversation. I'm sure we could spend the rest of the afternoon kind of picking your brain just because there's so much valuable information in there, but we won't. But I will end with one last question. First and foremost, obviously, our goal here is to make sure that we're inspiring, you know, kind of lenders and real estate professionals with you know, how we're giving back. And so the last question that I'll ask you is, how are you lending it forward in your space?
Yeah. A couple ways. I mean, from a charitable standpoint, our team does a lot of things from a charitable standpoint, right? And so just financially, we're always giving back, which I think is important. You know, find your favorite charity and whatever that might be, give back. I mean, one fun thing we do, we always do like a Giving Tuesday. And so every team meeting every month, we pack lunch bags to then we drop off, you know, with the homeless. So there's so many different things that you can be doing like within your community to give back. I'm big on that. I would say other than that, I think my biggest way of giving back is just giving back my time. You know, I'm an open book. You know, I've been a coach before where I got paid for, and actually I had to step back from that and focus on more of our residential business. But you know, all the time people, actually one of the newer agents with LPT, she's actually been in the industry for quite some time, but you know, joined forces with us. And she called me this morning, like, Angie, like, I need your advice on this. You have 5 minutes. I was like, of course, like, I'm never too busy to help and to give back because others have done that for me as well. So I just always want to be able to be that resource for people and just give my professional like knowledge that I've gained over the years and help someone to hopefully like, hey, like, I just like solved a problem that could have taken them way longer. Like, just do this. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this was great. Eliza, I'm sure you feel the same way. Angie, we really appreciate you coming on and spend some time with us. Congrats really on all the success that you, your family, your team are having in the Raleigh area and I guess North Carolina overall. So I'm sure you continue to kind of grow out further and further.
Okay.
But here's to a great 2024 and forward for all of you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Angie.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452.